Kitchen Age Home and Hardware has two locations to serve you better. Its original location is on Sturgis Road in Marion, and its newer location in Sturgis. The name actually says it all. H&H Home and Hardware has everything you need, from plumbing and electrical supplies to lumber, paint, building supplies, hardware, pool supplies, steel power equipment, and service, plus so much more for inside the home and out. H&H Home and Hardware is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to the program. We have an extended interview, but I'm going to give you some news tidbits first. Then we're going to go over to the Ben Clement Mineral Museum, which will be hosting its annual big show this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday. First of all, I want to say condolences to the Gordon Guess family. Gordon Guess passed away last weekend, and he was an icon, a larger-than-life person in this community who did so much behind the scenes that no one will ever fully understand, just the magnitude of what he was able to accomplish with his connections, his understanding and knowledge of things. Baseball fan extraordinaire. The baseball field here is named for him, Gordon Blue Guess Field. Of course, he sank a lot of money into that ballpark when he organized the Marion Bobcats. And Gordon helped found the Collegiate Baseball League, known as now as the Ohio Valley League. He's in the Amateur Baseball Hall of Fame. Oh, I take that back. It's the Semi-Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. Again, just an incredible character that this community will find very, very difficult to replace. There will be a memorial service on Saturday at the Marion Methodist Church at 11 a.m. for Gordon Guess, who passed away last weekend, just a few days short of his 90th birthday. Well, Tuesday was the filing deadline for candidates seeking nonpartisan offices that will appear on the November general election ballot. These are local races like city council, mayor, school board, and some other various races. Mayor Deanna Browning is the only individual to file in the mayor's race. Of course, she just is completing a first term, a four-year term, and will apparently be unopposed in the general election this fall. And on the city council side, those are two-year seats, and there are six of them. The candidates who have filed for re-election include five incumbents. They are all men, and they are Dwight Shear, Bobby Belt, Randy Dunn, Taylor Davis, and Cutter Singleton. Now, there are three challengers. They are Jaden Carlson, Scott Tabor, and Ricky Winders. And again, City of Marion residents will vote in that election this coming November, and they will elect six of those individuals. In school board races, incumbents Eric LaRue in District 2 and Ryan McDaniel in District 5 have filed for re-election, and it appears they will be running unopposed. And in the Crittenden County Conservation District Board, two individuals have filed to run for three seats. So there's one obviously going to be open and we'll need an appointment later on, but John Croft and Bob Glinky have both filed to run in the November general election. Well, let's take a short commercial break and we'll be right back and head on over to the Benny Clement Mineral Museum.
Do you need help around your home or farm? Preferred Tree and Land is here to serve. Total tree and stump removal, landscaping, dirt hauling, drainage system, grade and dirt work, retaining walls. Call for a free estimate. Find them on Facebook at Preferred Tree and Land. Stuart Haberlock, owner, 270-625-1041. Again, that's 270 625-1041. Preferred Tree and Land.
So I'm in the Marion Ben E. Clement Mineral Museum, and I'm here with Andrea Clement, one of the namesakes of this fine museum. And Andrea, if you would just tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are, your role here at the museum, and what's coming up this weekend.
Okay. My name is Andrea Clement, and Benny Clement was my grandfather. And he was born in 1891, and he was a pilot in World War I. And his life was actually changed because he had befriended a sewing machine repairman that took an interest in him. And the sewing machine repairman gave him a telescope worth a dollar and gave him a treatise on astronomy by Loomis, showed him some constellations. And from that moment on, he loved everything to do with the cosmos. But he went on and wound up getting into Vanderbilt, graduating in 1915. He went into World War I, was a pilot. He gets out and calls up a banking buddy and asks him for a job. And he said, it's a dog's life in banking, but with your aptitude for geology, the fluorspar industry is taking off. And he said, you should try your hand at mining. And so he moves to Marion in 1919, gets a job teaching high school science in Henderson, took that money and took out a lease on some properties in Crittenden County and started mining. And so it was a love affair from the get-go. He saw a piece coming down the conveyor belt headed towards a crusher, picks it up, falls in love, and starts collecting everything he could get his hands on. Mining, miners didn't make a lot of money back then, so they would supplement their income by finding pieces down there. They would put them in their lunch boxes and go sell them to collectors. And my grandfather knew they were doing that, and he wanted to redeem them. And so he said, bring them to me first and I'll buy them off of you. And that built such a great rapport with them that even when they were being pressured to unionize, they kept voting it down because they really had a good relationship with my grandfather. My grandfather thought the world of them and would make frequent reference to them as a class second to none, the likes of which should be in Washington in the halls of Congress. And so that just tells you right there, really the camaraderie that they had. And this place right here is my favorite place in the world to be. I've watched it from its inception. His dream was always to have a collection that anyone from all walks of life could come in and experience the beauty of God's creation, that anyone could walk in and just get a direct impartation of a love for learning. And just dreaming. He was just always dreaming and very innovative with things. He would take a hit, but he would get back up and keep going. And that also is a testimony to that generation. They didn't let anything keep them down. And so anyway, his desire was to have a museum, and he passed in 1980. Shortly after I was born, and so my dad spent his life working two jobs, raising us kids with mom, and making his dad's dream come alive. And so it's board driven, which is great. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't have the good quality of volunteers and board members. They're wonderful. We're so blessed. But when you come to the museum, what you see is you don't just see my grandfather's collection. You'll see mining equipment. My dad spent my childhood going to the old miners' homes, and they would sit there and he would record them talking about their life in the mines. They would explain how equipment worked. And at the end of it, he would always ask, do you have any advice for for newbies going into the mines? Do you have something that you would like to impart? Or is there something that you would like your family or the next generation to know that is just a good piece of advice? And they all had something to say, every single one of them.
And so this museum, I mean, you have curated not just the story of your grandfather's career in mining, but also the history of Crittenden County and the fluor spar.
The families. Yes, the businesses.
The county back in the early 1900s was twice the size population-wise.
Yes.
As it is now because of the fluor spar industry. And this just tells the story from start to finish.
Yeah. So in the 1800s, we were in the beginning, they were mining argentiferous galena, which is a fancy way of saying there's silver content in the galena. And they were mining galena to get the lead for ammunition and things like that. And so they kept recording that they were coming across this waste product. And it was shortly after that, still in the 1800s, that this man found that that there's aluminum extraction from the fluorine salts and electrolytic baths, and it put us on the map. Suddenly, they stopped looking at the lead, and they were like, okay, we need to focus on fluor spar. So that's a flux for metal manufacturing, glass making. It's your effing freon. And so by the late 1800s, early 1900s, by the end of the 1800s, early 1900s, the Southern Illinois, Western Kentucky fluor spar district was the world's largest producer of fluor spar. Imagine that.
Yeah, and then the foreign markets took it all away.
Yeah,
and there's some bounce back maybe on the horizon.
Yes.
Rattlings of that. But tell me about this coming weekend. You have the annual 19th annual.
This is show. Yes. Okay. So this is our 19th gem and mineral and fossil and jewelry show. I know that's a mouthful, but if I just say mineral show, more than likely most people don't know what I'm talking about. But we have vendors from all over the country that travel here. They set up booths over at Foes Hall. It's $5 admission just for the museum on that day. And then there's kids activities throughout the day too, and they're all free. And so last year, the theme was "It's Sedimentary, My Dear Watson," and the kids were learning different types of sedimentary rock and going home with it. This year, our 4-H Geology Club was focusing on one of my favorite topics. The theme was "The Deader the Better," and we had Geology John coming in, and he was teaching us what sea creatures swam around here under this in the seas and died here. And you can find them in the local creek beds and rock out here. And so this year at the 19th Gem and Mineral Show, we're going to have kids activities where they're going to be finding their own sea urchin spines and blastoids and stuff like that. And then we've got this limonite that is extracted from the rock that Native Americans used when they were doing cave paintings. And so we'll be doing cave painting art with the kids. So that'll be a lot of fun. Okay. Now, we also have a silent auction for people that that would like to look around and place bids on things. We've got all kinds of hourly door prizes. This is really something to see. And of course, networking and getting to know people in the community and surrounding communities.
And this is for your earthy geologist, rock hound, people who love the earth and the outdoors and the environment. I mean, this is perfect for them. It's, so you know nothing about rock.
You know, it's perfect for them, but I will go ahead and tell you that I'll be in the middle of a tour and someone will stop me and go, hold on a second. And they'll go drag their loved one out of the car and go, you don't want to miss this. You have to see this. And by the end of it, they're going, thank you that I didn't sit through that. Like I'm glad I didn't miss that. So that's wonderful. It is for anybody. This place is for anybody.
So give me some details, some nuts and bolts, times.
Okay. So the show itself is free. It goes from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening of Saturday. And then it is 10 to 4 on Sunday. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Andrea. And we appreciate her time and being able to share with us about the upcoming event this weekend. Stick your head in the door. I've encouraged you to do that time and time before. If you have not been over to that museum, it is really a piece of history of the community, but it is also a world-class collection of minerals, fossils, and all sorts of mining materials. You know, if you've been a coal miner, and particularly your family was in the fluorspar mining industry, it's a must-see. So hop on over to the Marion Ben E. Clement Mineral Museum this weekend. And that's going to be a wrap on this morning's program. We will talk to you the first of the week. This has been Chris Evans reporting for the Crittenden Press.